Having the Right Outlook by Maria Fontaine.
I found the following tucked away in my jewels folder. Author unknown. The idea illustrates a simple but effective tool for doing something amazing in our life, turning an upside-down life right side up again. Difficult as it may be at times, the choice of whether we will take what this life brings and use it as a ladder to victory or a trapdoor to the pit is still ours to make. Here's the excerpt. Whenever I'm tempted to wonder what's so great about my daily life, I go to the refrigerator door where a sheet of paper hangs, held firmly by a magnet. By the time I finish reading it, I'm usually ready to add another item to its list. What is it? A shopping list? Perhaps a to-do list? No, it's something both mundane and profound. A reminder of the realities of life and a motivator for my mind and soul. It's not a list of things that many would immediately see as good things. Instead, it's a list of what often could give cause for complaint, yet I've learned instead to search out that extra blessing that is hidden within. Here are a few examples. Things to be thankful for anyway. For the buzz of the alarm clock that jolts me from sleep, because it means I've been blessed with another opportunity to love my family and hold them close. For the endless stream of questions from my little ones, because it means that they possess inquisitive, intelligent, healthy minds. For the mess to clean up after a party, because it means that I have been surrounded by friends. For the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I have plenty to eat. For my shadow that watches me work, because it means I am in the sunshine. For a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning and gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. For the parking spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I'm able to walk and that I have been blessed with transportation. For my huge heating bill, because it means I've been able to keep warm. For weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day, because it means I have been capable of working hard. For the continual beep of text messages on my phone when I'm busy with other things, because it shows that others care about me. For the troubles that dot my day, because they show that the Lord is busy investing his time and effort in shaping my life. Maria, though the basic principle of looking for the positive is familiar to us all, seeing it done so practically makes it easy to apply. If we look for the opportunities, we will see ways to turn what could be a weight and a drain on our hearts and minds into something we can be thankful for. The Lord may challenge us to see how many of our life experiences we can add to our own gratitude list each day. As we do this, our attitudes and expectations about life begin to shift. It's a reminder of the power of free choice. We cannot choose to eliminate everything that seems bad, but we can always determine how it will impact us and what we will make of life's lemons. The power of praise. I want to revisit some thoughts that were shared years ago in a vitamin post. However, as the Lord sometimes does, he gave an updated version of the prophecy to fit the need today. The Lord has such a beautiful way of sharing how he sees the power of praise. Even though I'm sure you've grown tremendously in this area, this topic still seems to offer us new challenges. Jesus, when you praise me in any situation, my spirit renews your strength. You will mount up on the wings of my spirit. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. Praising me is always regenerative. It bolsters your faith, rekindles hope, and strengthens your bond with me. When you voice your thankfulness and gratitude, your words become a means to draw closer to me. They help to chase away fear. They help you to leap over the gorge of worry and land in the field of peace and calm. Your body in this life is like a vehicle. If your guidance system is set to gratitude and you power your vehicle with the fuel of praise, you're already well on your way to reach your destination with more than enough power to get you there. My GPS is active in your life, and it will never steer you wrong. So be sure that you have the latest updates from me installed, and your tank is filled to overflowing with praise. Then power up your spirit and take off with me. Is God always good? Following is an article on a subject that bears revisiting because so many struggle to understand when heartbreaking situations occur in their life. Here's a personal account of something that caused noted author and theologian Max Lucado to contemplate the topic of, is God always good? I remember the day as a sunny summer Brazilian one. My wife Denilyn and I were spending the afternoon with our friends Paul and Debbie in a nice house where the air was cooler, the streets were cleaner, and life was calmer. Besides, they had a swimming pool. Our two-year-old daughter, Jenna, loved to play with their kids, and that is exactly what she was doing when she fell. We'd stepped into the house for just a moment to fill our plates when Paul and Debbie's four-year-old walked into the room and casually told her mum, "Jenna fell in the pool." We exploded out the door. Jenna was flopping in the water, wearing neither floaties nor a life jacket. Paul reached her first. He jumped in and lifted her up to Denilyn. Jenna coughed and cried for a minute, and just like that, she was fine. Tragedy averted. Daughter safe. Even driving home, I was thanking God, and I offered yet another prayer. God, you are so good. Then a question surfaced in my thoughts. If Jenna hadn't survived, would God still be good? I had spent the better part of the afternoon broadcasting God's goodness. Yet, had we lost Jenna, would I have reached a different verdict? Is God only good when the outcome is? Would and do we say the same under different circumstances? In the cemetery, as well as the nursery, in the unemployment line, as well as the grocery line, in days of recession, as much as in days of provision? When God fails to meet our bottom line expectations, we're left spinning in a tornado of questions. Is he good at all? Is God angry at me? Stumped? Overworked? Is his power limited? His authority restricted? Did the devil outwit him? When life isn't good, what are we to think about God? Where is he in all this? God at times permits tragedies. He permits the ground to grow dry and stalks to grow bare. He allows Satan to unleash mayhem, but he doesn't allow Satan to triumph. Isn't this the promise of the Bible in Romans 8:28? We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Nothing in the Bible would cause us to call a famine good, or a heart attack good, or a terrorist attack good. These are terrible calamities born out of a fallen earth. Yet, every message in the Bible compels us to believe that God will mix them with other ingredients and bring good out of them. But we must let God define good. Our definition includes health, comfort, and recognition. His definition? In the case of his Son, Jesus Christ, the good consisted of struggles, storms, and death. But God worked it all together for the greatest of good, his glory and our salvation. And is it possible that the wonder of heaven will make the most difficult life a good bargain? The Bible says, "This slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.